Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the book of Isaiah, chapter 50, verses 4 through 10. The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak, a word in season to him who is weary. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as a learned. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who plucked out the beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting. The Lord God will help me. Therefore, I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I will not be ashamed. He is near who justifies me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near me. Surely the Lord God will help me. Who is he who will condemn me? Indeed, they will all grow old like a garment. The moth will eat them up. Who among you fears the Lord? Who obeys the voice of his servant? Who walks in darkness and has no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely upon his God. So far, sermon text. In Christ Jesus, who is the willingly obedient servant of the Lord, dear fellow redeemed, when we began our study to the book of Isaiah back on May 30th, we mentioned that the theme of this book of Isaiah is Jesus, the servant of the Lord, brings judgment to the sinner. In chapters 1 to 39, our sub-theme was, this servant brings condemning judgment on unbelievers. And then we began chapter 40, there's a new sub-theme, which was, this servant is the only God and Savior. And now as we get to the third portion of this book of Isaiah, we have a new sub-theme. This servant's suffering brings saving judgment to the sinner. And most often when we hear the word judgment, we think of what, punishment, condemnation. But judgment is just another term for verdict. So the judgment of the court, the verdict may be not guilty, innocent. That's a good judgment. And that's the judgment that we as believers in Christ have when we put our faith and trust in Jesus, in his perfect life, in his suffering and death. God the Father declares us, he judges us, he gives us the judgment, the verdict of not guilty, righteous, in fact, innocent. In the next four sermons in Isaiah, we're going to be hearing very clearly how this servant of the Lord, through his suffering, death, and resurrection, clearly shows us to have that judgment of God of righteousness and of our salvation. And the amazing thing about that is that these words were written 750 years before they were even accomplished. The speaker of our text this morning is the servant of the Lord. And from the fulfillment of the scriptures, we see that this is none other than Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah himself. The Messiah tells us how much he has to suffer for you and for me to pay for the guilt and punishment of our sins. This beautiful text points in two directions. First of all, it points to that suffering servant who clearly gives his life for us, clearly sacrifices himself. It's prophesying about what's going to happen to him. And then the second is in chapter 10, where it says, this sacrifice, this fulfillment that has been done for us is for those who lay their trust and put their trust and confidence only in him. And so Isaiah's message again this morning is one of comfort to the helpless, comfort to the lost ones, comfort to those who are wearied and heavy laden with their sins, those who realize their sinfulness. In other words, to a repentant child of God who has had the law condemn him when he sees his immense debt to his Father, who realizes he has no goodness or righteousness to give before his Heavenly Father, who realizes he is lost and condemned. That's the words we have this morning to all of us. In the midst of this darkness of despair, help is there. There is light in darkness. There is victory. But the victory is assured only to those who put their trust in Him as their Lord and Savior. So using Isaiah's first words of our text this morning, we've got our theme. And our theme is a word that sustains the weary. In our first point, we see how the Lord God sustained His suffering servant. And secondly, we too are encouraged to trust that He will sustain us also. In our text, the servant of the Lord, the Messiah, says that he's been given two gifts from his Heavenly Father. A learned tongue and a learned ear. Literally, those words read, a tongue adapted to deliver effectively the message that is given him to speak. This gift enabled the Messiah to speak the word, to sustain the weary, simply with a word. We see this fulfillment in Jesus because Jesus came to proclaim the good news which he was going to fulfill. He preached good news to the poor. The fulfillment is found in Jesus' invitation to this world when he says, come to me, all you who labor, or another translation is, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Another place Jesus said, I've not come for the healthy, but for the sick. I've not come for those who don't need a physician, but those who do. These words, again, are written for those who realize their sinful, lost condition. Those who realize that we can do nothing, absolutely nothing, to earn our salvation. Who realize that without Jesus, we'd all be condemned to hell eternally. So spiritually worn out, spiritually wearied, spiritually burdened consciences find rest, find peace by learning about Jesus and learning from Jesus. We're told that when Jesus preached in his day, he taught people as one having authority, not as the scribes. And even his enemies realized that this man spoke amazing words. We're told they said about this carpenter's son, no man ever spoke like this man. Even his enemies were awed. But how did Christ have this ability to speak with such authority, to speak these words of peace and comfort and rest and assurance? He tells us in our text, the Lord God awakens me morning by morning. He awakens me my ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God has opened my ear. The word of God was our Savior's constant companion. Day in and day out, Jesus studied, he heard, he learned the word of God. He was given a learned ear. Again, meaning an ear adapted to hear effectively the message that is given to him in order to speak it. As a true man of God, a true man, Jesus had to continually study and hear and learn the word of God, the word of life. He remained a hearer of this word his entire lifetime. As man, Jesus had the Spirit of the Lord rest upon him. We're told the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. The Lord Jesus always had the right word to say at the right time upon the right person, always dividing law and gospel perfectly, words of conviction and words of comfort. How often don't we feel inadequate to bring the word of God to someone? We just don't know what to say. Jesus never had that problem because he was totally immersed in the Word. Through the Spirit, he delivered. He had the ability to hear well and to speak well. But this good news was not always received as good news. When Jesus proclaimed that I've come to redeem those who are condemned, I've come to save the lost, I've come to set free those who are captive by Satan, the Jewish people who listened to him did not believe that Jesus was speaking about them. They didn't believe they were the captives of Satan. They didn't believe they needed redeeming. They didn't believe that they were lost. And so these words of rebuke and reproof because of their sin and hardened hearts led them to reject Jesus, reject his message. And what happened? Well, again, the servant, some 750 years before it happened, tells us exactly what happened to him. We read, and this is the prophetic perfect. It's a foretelling of the future, but in the past tense, as if it already took place. Not I will give, but I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who plucked out the beard. Not I will, but I did not hide my face from shame and spitting. In Jesus' passion history, we see these words fulfilled. Jesus was arrested, tried, convicted, beaten, tortured, spit on, and finally crucified on the cross. This was done by the leaders of the Jewish Senate, by the people, by the Roman soldiers. All of this Jesus willingly endured to atone and to pay for your sins and my sins. The hymn writer puts it so very well. O sacred head now wounded, with grief and shame weighed down, now scornfully surrounded with thorns, thine only crown. Men mock and taunt and jeer thee, thou noble countenance, how art thou pale with anguish, with sore abuse and scorn. Now from thy cheeks has vanished their color once so fair, from thy red lips is banished the splendor that was there. Grim death with cruel rigor hath robbed thee of thy life. Thus thou hast lost thy vigor, thy strength in this sad strife. In verse 5, we again see our Savior's total willingness to go to the cross for us. We read, I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away. Jesus' will was to do his Father's will. We read that this morning when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, not my will, but your will be done. He was willing to go and suffer the greatest anguish, pain, and sorrow any other human beings ever endured. Being rejected by his fellow men, and even being rejected by his Heavenly Father, enduring the torments of damnation for you and me. Jesus did not draw back from his task. He willingly faced the cross, torturous death, damnation, to obtain for us forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. In these verses, we see the perfect obedience of this child of God, the Savior, in hearing the word. The perfect obedience of a prophet, the perfect prophet, in speaking the word. And as a perfect substitute in doing his will. So, how could Jesus endure all this? And he tells us in our text in verse 7, for the Lord God will help me. Jesus had total and complete confidence and trust in his Heavenly Father. There's something triumphant in the tone of this verse. Yes, even though the suffering will be great, the victory would even be greater, would be more glorious. Jesus knew this. Therefore, he implicitly trusted his Father. As true man, he looked to his Heavenly Father for help and strength How many times do we read in the New Testament that he went off to be by himself, to pray to his Heavenly Father, to lay all of his cares and concerns upon his Father? In his high priestly prayer in John, we read these words from Jesus: "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you." What an excellent example for us to call upon our Father in Jesus' name when we were in trials and troubles, either physically or spiritually. Jesus steadfastly set his face toward Jerusalem and toward the cross. There his sufferings and death and damnation awaited him. Even his disciples tried to dissuade him. "No, Lord, you can't do that. Don't do that." And yet he would, come what may, he alone would earn our salvation. We have a few more prophetic words of our servant of the Lord in verses 8 and 9. "He is near who justifies me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near me. Surely the Lord God will help me. Who is he who will condemn me? Indeed, they will all grow old like a garment. The moth will eat them up." Jesus was falsely accused by the Sanhedrin. He was falsely condemned by Pontius Pilate. Even those false witnesses that tried to come up with something against Jesus couldn't find anything that he did wrong because he was sinless. In fact, Jesus even challenged him. He says, "Go ahead, say something I did wrong. Tell something about me that condemns me." They could not. The Father who declared his Son to be the worst sinner in all the world because he carried the sins of the whole world on the cross, declared his Son righteous in his resurrection. As for Jesus' accusers, we're told in our text, they're going to wear out. What an awesome picture the Lord uses for those who are condemned. They'll wear out like a garment, and the moths will eat them up. Their judgment has been made. There was no one who could condemn Jesus, no one who could convict him of sin. You know what the great news for you and me is? There is no one who can condemn us. There is no one who can convict us of our sins either. Not because we're perfect or righteous like Jesus, but because God has already declared us to be righteous and perfect through his Son's sacrifice on the cross for us. Many years later, the Apostle Paul wrote words very similar to these words in Isaiah 50. In Romans 8, Paul wrote, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us." And finally, in verse 10, Isaiah encourages believers in Christ, we who revere Jesus and his word, to call upon his name. We read in verse 10, "Who among you fears the Lord? Who obeys the voice of his servant? Who walks in darkness and has no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely upon his God." Do you revere? Do you respect? Do you honor the Lord's name? Do you obey his word in your life as a fruit of faith? Do you proclaim that word to others? If you do, then you probably will face oppression, probably face opposition, persecution, maybe even ridicule. Isaiah says, trust in the Lord. Rely upon the Lord God. Have any of you walked in the darkness of sin? Have any of you walked in a lifestyle that you knew was not pleasing to God? Have any of you fallen into a sin that took over your heart and your life for a time? And Isaiah says, listen to the counsel of Jesus, to trust in his name, to bask in the glory of his forgiveness, to find your strength in the Lord and lean upon him who gave his life to pay for every single sin in your thoughts, in your words, and in your actions. David learned this very valuable lesson when he was in distress. And he wrote in Psalm 30, I will exalt you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. O Lord, my God, I cried out to you for help, and you healed me. O Lord, you have brought my soul up from the grave. Jesus is the word that sustains the weary. Trust in him, and he will sustain you as well. May the Holy Spirit give to all of us learned ears, ears that hear attentively, ears that hear the word of God and apply them to our lives, ears that listen effectively to the one message of salvation through Jesus Christ. May he also give to us a learned tongue, a tongue that responds to what is heard by telling others the one thing needful, the most important message of all. Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. We rely upon him, the servant of the Lord, for forgiveness, life, and salvation. Amen. The peace of God which passes understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.